Give me by and by the head of John the Baptist, chapter 37. John the Baptist still is confined in prison. I told you in chapter 28 why he was imprisoned. Herod had put him into prison because the faithful preacher had admonished him of his abominable sins. Herod would not kill him. He didn't dare, because he feared the Jews would seek revenge. He feared a revolt. However, Herodias, the unlawful wife of the king, lies in wait for John's life. You know, Herodias actually was the wife of Philip. But Herodias ran away from her lawful husband and went to live with her brother-in-law Herod. Now John had fearlessly said, Herodias was not allowed to be the wife of Herod, but he should send her back to his brother Philip. From that moment, this wicked woman hated John the Baptist. She continuously urged the king to kill John, but up to now, Herod refused. For this reason, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus has not been slain. But neither does he receive freedom, and therefore he is still sighing in the gloomy dungeon. Undoubtedly, the king permitted John to come to him a few times, and upon these occasions John preached for Herod. In Mark 6 we read that Herod heard him gladly. John spoke to the wicked king, not only about his wife Herodias, but also about many other things. This preaching always made a powerful impression upon Herod. The king felt it was true what John told him, and in many things he listened to the preacher. We read he did many things. Pitiful. And the Bible says many, not all. When John told him he should send Herodias away, the king would shake his head. No, he would not. He did not want to be without Herodias. He thought too much of her, and no matter what John said or how seriously he spoke to the king about the sinfulness of his actions with Herodias, it was to no avail. Herodias remained in the royal palace of Herod. However, he did many other things, but what they were, we do not know. Every time Herodias heard John was with her husband, she trembled with unrest. She realized very well Herod was impressed by John's preaching. She saw how he became so very quiet and sat silently staring into space. She trembled. Why did she? She feared Herod would one day yield to John's admonishments and return her to her lawful husband, to Philip, and she did not want to go. No, she wanted to remain with her brother-in-law Herod. She would clench her fists. Her eyes would sparkle and the raging hatred would flame up in her heart against John the Baptist, who alarmed her so greatly. Oh, if only she could murder him. But she cannot do that because the king protected John. All her efforts to convince Herod to kill John failed. The thought of revenge continued in the heart of Herodias. She waited for an opportune time. She hoped the day would come when she could cool her fury. Would her wish be fulfilled? Would her wicked plan finally succeed? Look, such a pleasant activity prevails in the streets. People are talking and laughing. It is especially busy in the palace of Herod the king. The large room of the royal palace is filled to capacity with people. What is going on? There is a feast at court. It is the king's birthday. He has prepared a great banquet and has invited the most distinguished people of his kingdom. There sit the nobles. There sit the rulers over thousands, the generals and captains of his army. There sit the chief men of Galilee, too. Who were they? Some think they were the Sadducees of Galilee. The Pharisees did not come there, and they would have nothing to do with this wicked heathen king. But the Sadducees were not so particular. They loved feasting and reveling. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They only lived for luxurious eating and drinking. No matter who they may be, the room is filled with the most distinguished people of his realm. See them sitting, rather lying or reclining on rest benches around the long tables. The most delicious foods are served. The most costly wines sparkle in the glasses. They drink one glass of wine after the other. Yes, they drink far too much. You can realize this feast was not to the honor of God, but it was an ungodly feast, a drinking party. O Herod, is this your gratitude to God for sustaining and sparing you another year? Must you celebrate your birthday in such a way? Alas, boys and girls, the king never gives that a thought. He wants to celebrate a feast and have some fun. They laugh and talk, curse and sing, so that it can be heard far in the distance. The more wine they drink, the merrier and noisier they become. The feast degenerated into a drunken men's frolic. The door is opened, and a young girl enters the festive hall. Why does she come? She will dance for all those men. Who is she? This girl's name is Salome. She is the daughter of the queen. That makes her a daughter of the king too, doesn't it? No. Philip, the first husband of Herodias, is her father, not Herod. So Herod is the uncle of Salome. And this girl will now dance for all these drunken men. Today a great deal of dancing is done in our country, but dancing is ungodly. Thereby we sin against the Lord. Boys, I hope and wish you never will do it or join with those that do. Girls, never go into taverns or to ungodly feasts and never dance. Remember, the Lord hears and sees everything, and he surely will visit it. You do not belong in those places. Neither did Salome belong there. Still, she came and danced. Probably she was sent by her wicked mother, Herodias. Momentarily, the noise in the hall ceased. They all look at the dancing girl. Herod also follows her motions, and his eyes, dull with wine, at once begin to glitter. He thinks she dances very well. At last, Salome stops, and all the rulers and princes cheer her lavishly. All stare at her with admiration. She is greatly pleased and glows with pride. Suddenly, the king says to his niece, Salome, because you have danced so skillfully, I will give you a reward. What do you want from me? Just ask. Regardless of the cost, I will give it to you. I solemnly promise. Yes, Herod even promises it with an oath, for he adds this to it, even if you ask for the half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. I swear to it. In suspense, all wait for the girl's request. Will she ask for a beautiful gown, or a necklace of costly pearls, or a gold bracelet ornamented with precious stones? Probably Salome momentarily hesitates, but then hastily leaves the festive hall. Do you know what? She will ask Herodias, her mother, for advice. Probably she will know of something very beautiful for her. She soon comes to the queen. Mother, the king promised to give me anything I desire because I danced so skillfully. What must I choose? Do you know of an expensive gift for me? She asks excitedly. Full of expectation, she looks inquiringly at her mother. The queen is silent for a moment. Then a false smile comes upon the face of Herodias. Her eyes sparkle craftily. Ah, finally, finally, she has a fine opportunity to cool her rage, her pent-up anger. Child, she says with a sneer, child, do you know what you should request? Will you do me a big favor? Ask the king for the head of John the Baptist. Will you do that? There they stand together, mother and daughter. Probably both were silent for a moment. Ah, Salome understands at once why her mother says this. She understands her intentions. And? Will she do it? Will she follow the cruel advice of her wicked mother? She quickly leaves her mother and enters the festive hall for the second time. She hastily goes to the king. He looks kindly at her, at the same time inquisitively, and asks, have you decided? What would you like to have from me? The others also wait anxiously for her answer. She says, I want you to give me immediately the head of John the Baptist in a charger. A charger is a large dish. So, does Salome obey her wicked mother? Does she follow the horrible advice of Herodias? Yes, alas, she does. Her mother did not have to force her into doing it. No, she did it willingly, not reluctantly, but with joy. For we read in the Bible that she came in straightway with haste unto the king. So the youthful Salome is just as bad and wicked as her mother. She should have refused. She never should have asked for what she did. Still, she did it. What benefit does she have from that request? It is exceedingly quiet in the hall. Everyone looks inquisitively at the king. What will his answer be? Will he grant it? Salome looks at her uncle triumphantly and impudently. Herod frightens exceedingly when he hears this. Yes, he becomes sorrowful. He turns pale. He didn't expect this request. It never came into his thoughts. In great confusion, he momentarily stares into space. What must he do? Kill John? He knows John is a just and holy man, a prophet. He fears him and has respect for him. Oh, he cannot make a decision. He breaks out in a sweat. If he only could wait a few days, but he cannot do that, because Salome said, by and by, that means at once. But Herod, it is not so difficult. Naturally, you must refuse this request. Say you cannot comply with her wish. Say you will not shed any guiltless blood on your birthday. You could easily say it. No one would think ill of you for it. But he dare not do it. He is ashamed to refuse because, you see, he swore to it. He made that solemn promise. His guests heard it. What will all those people think of him? They will laugh at him, and they will ridicule him. They will say it is silly and childish of him if he should refuse. Herod doesn't want to be laughed at. He wants to be honored and praised. Again, he is ashamed to refuse. But it is a false shame. And then, at once he makes a decision, but it is a dreadful decision. It is a decision whereby he will be pricked in his conscience to all eternity. "Go ahead," he says. "You can have your desire. Didn't I make the promise? I will not break my word." He calls for one of his soldiers and commands him to immediately bring the head of John the Baptist. The warrior bows and leaves. Let us now go in our thoughts to the dismal dungeon where John is imprisoned. Many months he has groaned in this musty cell. At this time he is alone. His friends are not with him. There he sits. Probably he is thinking of the days of his youth, and when he still was in the home of his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, living as a child without any cares. Or he may be thinking of the time when he preached at the River Jordan, and the Lord Jesus came to him to be baptized. Ah, we do not know what his thoughts were. Suddenly he hears a noise. Rapidly approaching footsteps make a dull sound in the empty passages. John lifts his head to listen. Who could that be? Could it be Herod is sending for him? Must he again go and preach for the wicked prince? He doesn't know. All he can do is wait. The footsteps stop before the iron door of his cell. The heavy bolts are pushed aside with a jerk. The door turns open with a creak, and a warrior, a soldier, enters the cell. Whether or not these two men talked together, we do not know. And then, oh children, it is almost too horrible to tell. Suddenly, the sword glitters. A powerful blow. And John the Baptist is dead. His head is cut off. Poor John. What? Poor John? Never. Blessed John. Probably some of you cannot understand this. It may be, but it is true. Blessed John. Why was he? Must I tell you? At once, John was delivered from this dark, gloomy dungeon. The same moment his head rolled upon the cold stones, his soul entered eternal glory. There Herod can no more harm him. His body was slain, but Herod could not kill his soul. His soul went to God in the high heaven. Such a happy exchange. He at once was delivered from all trouble and sorrow. You need not have compassion for him, do you hear? There he sings eternally to God's honor. There he sings to the honor of that king, whose forerunner he was. It was no punishment for John, but a blessing. Certainly, his bleeding body sinks down upon the stone floor. But that body is dead. It can no longer feel pain or grief. The executioner, the soldier, bends to pick up the head of John and lays it in a charger. This charger was probably made of silver or gold. He leaves the prison and quickly arrives at the hall of the royal palace where they await his return. If you please, here you have the head of John the Baptist. The soldier hands the charger with its dreadful contents to the girl. Herod shudders. He sees the pale face. He sees the closed eyes. Oh, he shuts his own eyes. He doesn't want to see it again. He shivers as though he has a fever. His hands shake and his knees knock together. Salome takes the horrible gift and quickly goes to her mother Herodias. Now Herodias has her wish. Now she can be at ease. This silenced mouth will never again warn Herod of sin. She never need fear that silenced mouth again. This mouth is silenced forever. With eyes full of hatred, she looks at the pale face and grins. Yes, Herodias, you now can grin, but when death comes for you, you will never grin again. Then you will be struck dumb. Then you must render an account of this guiltless, poured-out blood. That blood will pursue you into endless eternity. Of this you can be sure. Whether the festive meal lasted very long after this event, we do not know. But one thing is certain, for Herod, the joy of this feast is spoiled. Remorse due to this scandalous deed gnaws in Herod's heart. It cannot be otherwise. In his thoughts, he continually sees before him the head of John. He cannot shake his image from him. An unknown terror fills his soul. John's blood pursues him. Finally, he goes to bed. His sleep departs far from him. When he gets up the following morning, after a restless night, the head of John again looms before him. When he sits upon the judge's seat, when he is busy with other duties, in short, everywhere, the blood of the prophet, guiltlessly shed, pursues him. And when he hears that a great prophet has appeared, who performs many miracles, he frightens. Oh, the cruel king thinks, it could be John the Baptist. Probably God raised him from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Herod is very restless. You understand this great prophet was the Lord Jesus, don't you? He was not John the Baptist, but Herod did not know this. He lived in constant fear it was John. This was due to the accusing voice of his conscience. A gnawing conscience is terrible, very terrible. May the Lord spare you from having a gnawing conscience. Herod kept that. Yes, he still has it, and he will continue to have it to all eternity. Keep this in mind. God will punish sins severely. Probably on the following day, a few men stand weeping beside the headless body of John the Baptist. They are a few of his friends, a few disciples. They heard what had happened and ran quickly to the prison. When they are admitted, they soon enter his gloomy cell. And there lies their beloved master, dead, murdered upon the command of the cruel, wicked king. They stoop and carefully lift the lifeless body. Respectfully, they carry it outside and bury it. We do not know where it lies. Their hearts are filled with grief. They have nothing anymore. They never again can talk with their master. They never again can ask him for advice. All this is past. What must they do now? And then, yes, then they go to the Lord Jesus. They tell him with a sad voice and eyes full of tears what has taken place, and they seek comfort from Jesus. And what do you think? Will he send those heartbroken men away uncomforted? No. Undoubtedly, they remained with the Savior. Children, that is the sad end of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. For John, it wasn't bad, but woe to the murderer, woe to the ungodly king, who gave the command to kill John. Woe also to the evil woman, Herodias, who sought the death of the faithful preacher. John sings eternally to the honor of God, but Herod and his unlawful wife will be tormented in the place of the damned.